Hello and welcome to Parental Guidance Suggested. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Craven.
And I took a look at all the movies opening for this week, and I realized I did not want to see any of them. So what did you do?
There was not a wealth of anything. Really, I wanted to go back and watch a movie that I had already seen. Like, nothing that I hadn't seen really enticed me. But I decided to go with Midway anyways, because I am a glutton for punishment.
Now, have you seen any of the other movies about Midway, such as Midway?
I was like, wait, this is a sequel or the other film? I have not seen them recently.
Mm-hmm.
I will say this one is from the subtle touch of the man that gave us 1998's Godzilla, The Day After Tomorrow. And Independence Day, Stargate. I really feel like you should have to fill out like a questionnaire, or someone should have to look at your resume. You know, like there's some Facebook pages that whenever you join, you have to be approved.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there should be like an executive in charge of, like, let's say Vietnam, World War II, and World War I films. Like, if you're Steven Spielberg, like, and you say, oh, I want to do Saving Private Ryan, they look at Steven Spielberg and they're like, oh, yes, you may. Or if you're Stanley Kubrick and you want to do Full Metal Jacket, and they're like, oh, yes, Steve, by all means, go ahead. But when the guy that did Godzilla comes up and he goes, I want to do about a movie about World War, you just go, no, I'm sorry. You're going to listen. I'm not saying you can never do this, but we need to see that, like, you know what you're doing. Similar to kind of how, like, Michael Bay does Pearl Harbor. And on paper, you're like, oh, a movie about Pearl Harbor. That's, you know, there's some dramatic tension mm-hmm. there. You could definitely wring some out of it. But then you look at it, and I'm not denouncing these films, because I'm going to tell you, I love them. But I don't think they require the same skill set as a movie about Pearl Harbor. Like Bad Boys. At no point do you need Will Smith to show up in Pearl Harbor and go, oh, hell no. And Martin Lawrence.
But I would have enjoyed it.
But I'm just saying, like, you would understand if somebody found that disrespectful. You'd just be like, why are Martin Lawrence and Will Smith running around Pearl Harbor on those? What is this a good idea? Like,
and yet that's not the movie you reviewed.
No. Well, you understand what I'm saying. Like,
wait. I want to give you knowledge that you will now not be able to unknow.
That happens to me a lot. But I'm sure. I'm in.
What does the 1976 Charlton Heston Midway movie have in common with our favorite Christmas movie?
Damn Dirty Apes? No? Yes? Maybe?
This guy!
Is that?
Yes!
Is that Adama? No, James Shingle. Okay. I didn't have my glasses on.
No, and
it looked like him without my glasses
okay,
on.
Okay, Adam is not. It is James Shigeta. Die Hard.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Nakatomi.
He's Nakatomi from Die Hard, and he is, I'm sure, not on the American side in the 1976 Midway.
I would expect not, no.
In the 76 Midway, this was major, because you had Chuck Heston, Henry Fonda, James Coburn, Glenn Ford, and Hal Holbrook in, also starring Toshirô Mifune.
Charlton Heston.
It was really big. Now, let me look at the 2019 Midway, and it has Ed Skrein, Patrick Wilson. Is he Owen Luke's brother?
I don't think so.
Woody Harrelson. So
Harrelson's been working here lately.
Mandy Moore in Midway.
I don't want to sit there and impugn Mandy Moore, but like, if you're telling me that like you want a film with dramatic heft and you want to have a certain like ambiance, a je ne sais quoi, if you will,
uh-huh.
I don't think Mandy Moore is the way to go about that.
Okay.
Now, I'm sure if you ask Mandy Moore's mom, she would disagree with me. But I don't need the same person that like gave me bubblegum hits alongside Britney Spears, like giving me like dramatic weight in a war film.
I'm just looking at the cast and I don't see anyone along the Charlton Heston Glenn Ford gravitas.
Well, I mean, now, to be fair, Heston had a whole lot of the gravitas.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe if you found a lesser actor even in that, it might be a more fair comparison. But I really don't even think, like, maybe Patrick Wilson is probably, like, the best of that set.
Mm-hmm. Now, having mentioned the 76 version of Midway, which I have seen, and is really a great primer if you're going to study World War II, just so you have that down in your head.
I'm going to go ahead and put it out there. Watch the Heston version.
Yes.
And, like, you're not going to have to, like, pay for, like, everything at the theater. It's probably on digital, I'm mm-hmm. going to go ahead and say. Like, if it isn't just, like, available on Netflix, like, at worst, maybe you do it on, you know, like, Vudu or Movies Anywhere, and you spend, like, you know, $2.99 to rent it. I'm just putting it out there. If you just have to watch. Yes.
My main question is this Midway, obviously it's about the Battle of Midway, and as is the other Midway, but is this based upon the 76 film? And not,
I don't think okay. they're related. Right. I think it's like,
it's just the story.
They just happen to be covering okay. similar subjects. Yeah.
And I remember watching the Midway movie and thinking it was really long. I've closed my browser and don't feel like looking at it again to see how long it was. But it seemed really, really long, as I'm sure those in the battle also thought, this is really long.
Probably.
Yeah, probably. So the movie seemed really long to you?
I think it was slightly over 2 hours, I want to say, like maybe 2:15.
And at what point did you realize it sucked?
Really, like, before I got in. Oh. Like, when I looked at who was directing it, and, like, I want to say he's only done one film that I would admit to enjoying. Like, I liked The Patriot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Mel Gibson mm-hmm. one, I would think it was, like, 1999 or 2000. I did enjoy that. But basically, that movie's just Braveheart set during the American Revolution, and I love Braveheart. So I was kind of a shoo-in. I knew I was going to like that movie because it's essentially remaking another movie I liked with the same lead actor.
You're listening to Parental Guidance Suggested, brought to you by Hinson Oakley Family Dentistry. Jane Ellen talking with Adam Cravens about Midway, the movie.
Like, sometimes I'm wrong, but not often about, like, yeah. When I go into a film, I can usually research enough about it and look at, like, if another critic, like, that I usually agree with, if I can see what kind of, like, their two cents were on it. Like, if they're like, this film is stupid, I hate it, there's a really good chance I'm probably going to agree with them.
Mm-hmm.
Or if, like, there's a, you know, like, I can look at the...
So you researched Midway.
I mean, in as much as I research any... I research every movie that I watch.
Okay.
Like, I don't want to waste 2 hours.
So... what I recall from the original Midway is, and understandable because of when it was made, for the most part, war movies that involve the United States in a war, most of them are told from our point of view because, A, it's made in America with an American director, so that makes sense.
This was, what, 76?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Mostly that, and... What's great about the 76 Midway is that...
inclusion was not real big in 1976.
But they actually cast Asian actors, which, had this have been made in 1956, would not have happened.
Who was it that played... What is it? Breakfast at Tiffany's has... I almost...
It has... It's Mickey Rooney.
There we go.
I believe...
Isn't he a Japanese man? Am I right about that?
He is...
And didn't Heston play Genghis Khan in himself? I'm just saying, like, I maybe for the time period that was okay, but if you're going to, like, again, say, okay, Disney's doing Mulan. I'm really proud of them for not casting, let's say, Mandy Moore as Mulan. I think that's a solid choice. Not going for, like, a white, blonde-haired, blue-eyed girl playing
she is a
Mulan.
Brunette.
Sure. Well, okay. Whatever.
But she is the voice of What's-Her-Face in Tangled, so I can see where you got the blonde from.
Well, that's probably is. Like,
yeah.
I also think Burl Ives looks like the snowman from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
So I believe I read about this is it's a more even-handed telling, because even though we were right, those who fought in World War II and happened to be Japanese, they fought for a reason that they believed in. And so is this a more even-handed telling, or is it
It's definitely a film that's made in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think it probably considerably more so than the 76 version, but like it, one of the better, like, interpretations of, like, Eastwood several years ago did, it's Letters from Iwo Jima and I think it's Flags of Our Fathers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's two films that are told from different points of view, but it covers the exact same. Instead of just having like a 4-hour movie, it's split into two different films. That's probably the best way if you want to do that. But like, I never thought anybody was like a cartoon, like, cutout villain. The way I'd mentioned Pearl Harbor earlier, I really kind of felt like you got more of the cardboard cutout in that, mm-hmm. and that you're just like, oh, they're distinctly bad. These people are just, it wasn't like kind of giving you their side of the story or like trying to make it kind of a neutral interpretation. I'd say it falls somewhere in the middle of that.
So was it just the production was, is it, what made it, because honestly, that's a war story, other than the fact that war is horrible, can make for a great movie.
I think the larger issue of it was I was not impressed with the cast. I didn't think that they were tailored for this material. And honestly, I don't think the director understands or is talented enough to tell a story like if you want to tell about a made up snowstorm that like freezes the earth and then like we have to walk around New York to find our son. Sure. Like there's nothing real about that. So like you don't have to fact check. You don't have to research anything for your performance. But I really just felt like everything was kind of diluted
mm-hmm.
in this. And from what I've read, it was also really expensive. And it is not, it's not getting the numbers that it needs in order to justify the amount of money that they spent on it. Like, I think it took its opening weekend, which was like 2 or 3 weeks ago, but it was only like $17, $18 million, something like that, which would have been fine if it was 1995, but it isn't. It's 2019, and I want to say the production budget was somewhere around like $90 to $100 million on this thing.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're saying don't see it in the theater. And I guess if it's on a year from now, I mean,
if it comes,
there are worse movies.
Yes, I think that's if you're scrolling through, you know, Netflix and you're like, oh, I haven't seen that. And they don't have the 1976 Midway version, or you've already seen that. And you're just like, you know what? I would like some watered down Coke. I don't like
maybe
my Coke
even
fresh.
Tepid.
Yeah, can you get me some room temperature watered down Coke? And they're like, yes, sir,
right
away.
Now, I am just tickled about what is coming out. Jumanji.
Oh, from the look of Dwayne Johnson and Kevin Hart pretending to be, what is it, Danny DeVito and
Danny Glover.
There we go. Just seeing them pretend to be them, like, I was in. If there was just a movie where, like, for some reason, like, you could, the two of them had to play them in, like, I don't know, in an old man makeup, like, I'm in for that. Like, really anything with Dwayne Johnson and Kevin Hart,
mm-hmm.
I'm pretty well in. And you've got some Jack Black sprinkled in there just for good measure.
Hmm.
Like, it really does look solid. Like, the first one, it's not what I would call, like, an important film, but, like, the kids adored this movie. Like, I have not sat down and watched it a number of times, but I've seen it peripherally while they have had it on in the room. So like in the same way that we only had one television growing up. So if I wanted to watch something and it was my sister's turn, I had to watch what she was watching mm-hmm. because it was her turn. So I've seen Dirty Dancing probably 80 times and I can sing you the entire soundtrack to that movie. I'm
side
not going to do it now.
Side note, not one of my favorite musicals.
It's not a musical. It just has a rockin' soundtrack. I mean, it has a soundtrack.
Okay, there's that. Anyway, so
I'll stop.
So the second Jumanji movie comes out, and this just doesn't bode well First, I'd like to say, Mr. Sandler, Adam and I will happily work for you at any time.
You talking about Uncut Gems?
Yes. Second of all, Adam Sandler has done some very solid performances in the non-Adam Sandler type of roles.
I think that's funny that you're classifying it like that. But yes, go ahead.
But just pitting it against Jumanji, and most people think of Adam Sandler as the funny guy, and now he's playing someone who I'm assuming isn't funny because he's a jewels thief.
I would argue this is probably counter-programming.
Yes.
If this was like Sandler in a Waterboy-esque like hijinks film, yes, pitting it against Jumanji is a bad idea. But from what I have read, Uncut Gems is a...
It's a drama.
It's a performance.
Yeah.
Like from him. It's a dramatic movie. So like if for some reason you don't think Dwayne Johnson and Kevin Hart and Jack Black are funny, like... It's not like the alternative is like, let's watch Adam Sandler be funny. Like, it's a completely different... You're not going to be sucking away from that audience. I don't think the same audience that's going to watch Uncut Gems is going to be want to watching Jumanji. Unless you're talking about me, because I just watch everything that's in
the
theater.
Pretty much everything. There is something out called Black Christmas, and it has Cary Elwes, who is not. So, all right. So I know about Black Christmas. Until this second, I didn't know it existed. I think the movie that most people will be interested in besides Jumanji is Bombshell, and that's Margot Robbie, and I don't know, a few names like Charlize Theron and, you know, just a few.
Do you know who directed that? Jay Roach. Do you know what else Jay Roach
Nicole
did?
Nicole Kidman. Oh, do tell.
Austin Powers.
There you go.
The Austin Powers trilogy. Like, in the same way that the guy that gave us, like, Anchorman, Adam McKay is his name, and Step Brothers, like, kind of stepped into the more dramatic arena when he did, most recently he did the one about Chaney.
Mm-hmm.
Jay Roach seems to be kind of, like, foregoing, like, the comedy route, which the two of them were really best known for, and stepping into some more dramatic territory.
And two other things that probably won't play around here, but would be well worth seeing. Les Mis is, did it just end its run? Yeah, it ran for 35 years in London. London's West End is like our Broadway.
That's nuts.
After 35 years...
It started playing when I was five.
I have
or four, seen it, four,
but
four.
Not in London. Anyway, it's one of the performances from the London shows to celebrate that, and Meet Me in St. Louis. That is the movie that has Judy Garland singing Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. Oh, my God. All the feelings, because A, Judy Garland, and B, it's so
Christmas.
Sad. That is one sad song, and she nails it. Anyway... It's a 75-year celebration
I'm not dropping any kind of, like, knowledge or something that hasn't been said before, but, like, Judy Garland is actually, like, was an incredible singer.
Oh, this is a crazy, crazy great performance from her, and a lot of really good songs. And it was, let me drop some knowledge, Meet Me in St. Louis was directed by her husband, who she had, Vincent Minnelli, who she had Liza Minnelli with, but then they divorced because he was gay. Anyway, so there's that.
Bombs.
It's common knowledge for those who know a lot about Judy Garland, and I guess I'm one of those people. I doubt they'll come this way, but if you've never seen Meet Me in St. Louis... It's awesome.
It does not strike me as a film that, I mean, you maybe like Nashville or like more of a boutique theater, but I'm not sure that like we will probably get it here. I think you are correct.
No, but it's certainly worth watching. And you know, the kids might, Lauren would like it. Anyway.
Probably.
I mean, it's just a good story.
I could talk her into that. It would probably be a harder sell for the boys.
Yes. Anyway, Jumanji, I know we'll be talking about, and maybe others. That's all I can say.
Jumanji, for sure. I think that's a safe bet.
Yes, I'm planning on that. And then the week after that, we're not going to go down a tangent, but Star Wars.
I think we'll.
The week after that?
We will say it's
coming.
It's like December 20th.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, a week.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, there we go. Thank you so much for listening to Parental Guidance Suggested. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.